welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. One of the most memorable bits in radio was Fibber McGee's Closet. As we wrap up our three-week run of Fibber and Molly, we have an episode where you get to hear Fibber's hall closet opened. The studio audience went wild, and when that happened, folks at home were tickled too. Fibber's Closet and the words, "Tain't funny, McGee," became catchphrases. In this episode, Gracie Allen stops by with her spoof presidential campaign. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly cleaning the hall closet, first broadcast March 5th, 1940, on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, the King's Men, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Shine. Once again, it's Fibber McGee and Molly time. Fibber McGee and Molly. The dramatic story of a woman with her faith in a man.
Oh,
and a man with his faith in a newspaper. Will something exciting, unusual, or momentous take place in the little frame house at 79 Wistful Vista tonight? Or is that expecting too much? Yes, I guess it's expecting too much. Anyway, here they are, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Anything interesting in the paper, dearie?
Well, here's an interesting article on crop surpluses, Molly.
You don't say.
Yeah. Now, take corn, for instance.
Certainly. We can take it and we can dish it out.
Hey, I'm serious. This writer says that if conditions keep up, the small farmer will be completely annihilated.
Oh.
Hey, what's annihilated?
Annihilated. Why, that means, when a farmer, now, for instance,
Where's the dictionary?
It's probably in the closet with the rest of your stuff. Give me your key and I'll get it for you.
Oh, no, you don't. You lay off the stuff in that closet. I got all my stuff arranged in there just the way I want it.
Now, don't be silly. Give me the key.
Okay. Now, let's see. Which one of these is the most...
Heavenly days. Why do you carry all those keys? Does it make you feel important or something?
What do you mean, important? Every one of them keys is necessary.
What's that little key there for?
Well, that's a padlock key.
What padlock?
Oh, for the backyard gate we used to have in Peoria.
What are you keeping that for? Are you homesick?
No, but if we ever move back to Peoria, I'd try to rent the same house because this key fits the padlock there. You got to think ahead in these things. And you see this key here?
Looks like the key to a can of salmon.
Nope, sardines. I use that to clean my pipe with.
Oh, I see.
Now, let's see. Which one of these keys is the closet door key?
Maybe we better see if the closet is locked. Let me take a look.
Oh, it's locked all right. You don't think I'd leave all my personal defects laying around for any prowler to get his hands on?
McGee, it isn't locked. Right. Better give me a hand, McGee.
right, but Dad read it. You might have been more careful.
Quick, help! There's funny little insects all over me. Brush them off, quick.
Oh, calm yourself, calm yourself. Them are my trout flies.
Oh.
Doggone it, Molly. Why did you have to go and mess up?
Oh, dear. Come in.
Fibber McGee and Molly?
Yes.
Tell me, with all these radio shows being changed, is it true that you're going to cut your program down to a half hour?
What do you mean, cut it down? It's only a half hour now.
What? Boy, it sure seems like an hour.
Well, as the guy says when he fell off of the horse and heard something bust, that sounded to me like a rib.
Well, never mind that now. Oh, dear, look at all this junk that fell out of that closet.
Don't worry, I'll put it back, Molly.
No, you won't.
Huh?
We're going to go through that pile of whatnots and throw everything out we don't need.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've been through this stuff 100 times, and there ain't a thing of it that I can spare.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
What's this old rusty horseshoe for?
Well, I found that in 1911. As soon as I find 3 more, we can pitch horseshoes in the backyard.
I see. You expect to find 3 more,
huh? Betcha.
You don't think the automobile is here to stay, eh?
Won't be if we don't catch up with the payments.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, little girl. What you want?
You remember that job you promised me to take care of your baby, only you didn't have one, so I was going to bring my little brother over and take care of him, remember? Hmm? Do you, hmm?
Yes, sure, I remember,
Well, the deal is off, see?
What you mean the deal is off? In the first place, there wasn't any deal, and in the second...
My mommy had to take my little brother to the doctor today, so I can't bring him over.
Oh, that's too bad. What's the matter with your little brother? Anything serious?
My mama thinks so.
Oh. She thinks so, huh?
She thinks so. I had to clear my throat there. She thinks he swallowed a dime.
Swallowed a dime? Well, say, that is serious.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, he didn't swallow a dime, I bet you.
Huh?
It was only 8 cents.
Only 8 cents? How do you know?
Well, we were playing slot machine, and I fed them to him. What you doing, mister?
Well, we're cleaning out this closet, if you must know.
I mustn't.
Mustn't what?
No.
No?
Yes.
What?
Hmm?
Oh. Listen, sis, suppose you go on home and annoy somebody else. Go bother your daddy.
He isn't home. He's working on the senseless.
On the what?
The senseless. He goes to people's doors and asks them how many people in the family and how old are you and all stuff like that there, I betcha.
Oh, you mean the census.
Hmm?
Shucks, I didn't even think a kid your age knew what a census was.
Well, I do, I betcha.
Yeah?
A census is information, please, on the Red, White, and Blue Network. Da 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 da.
While we're waiting for Fibber and Molly to return, I'd like your attention for just a minute. If you have valuable jewels, you protect them by keeping them in your safe or in a secret compartment. Valuable papers you keep in a strong box or vault. How can you protect your valuable furniture, floors, and woodwork? By locking them under a safe protective shield of genuine Johnson's wax. That may seem like a strong statement, but it's really true. When you apply a coat of Johnson's wax, you are completely covering the surface with an invisible yet very tough shield of real wax. This wax guards the floors and furniture surfaces against wear and against dirt and moisture. From time to time, you renew the coating of Johnson's wax, and your floors and furniture are given permanent protection. What is equally important, they have that rich, wax-polished glow that good housekeepers cherish. If your home is not wax-protected and wax-beautified, order genuine Johnson's Wax Paste or Liquid tomorrow.
Heavenly days, McGee. Imagine all this stuff falling out of one little closet. Yeah. How'd you ever get it all in there?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just inherited a gift for packing. My great-aunt Minnie had a job stuffing pimentos into olives. Oh, hey, look at this, Molly. The tabaret I made in manual training.
Hmm. Yeah? Didn't you ever finish anything? It's only got three legs.
They wouldn't let me stay in the fifth grade another year.
Ah, McGee, look. One of our old dance programs before we were married. I didn't know you were so sentimental, dearie.
Is that a dance program? I was saving it on account of that little pencil hanging onto it. You never know when you'll need a pencil.
Listen to this. Waltz, waltz, turkey trot, waltz, bunny hug, waltz, Texas Tommy, waltz.
What, no shottish?
Grizzly bear, waltz.
There.
You had every dance with me but the last waltz. McGee, who did you dance that one with?
Why, nobody. We sat that one out. In the buggy, remember?
Oh, yes. And we couldn't go back to the dance because you sat on a box of Lowney's chocolate-covered cherries and spoiled your white pants.
That was the night they took the... Come in.
Oh, hello, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Say, I'm looking for a nice room in the neighborhood. Got one to rent?
No, I don't believe so, Mr. Oldtimer.
Oh, come on, kids. I'll pay $3 a week with meals, or $2 a week and eat out, or $2.50 if you leave me see the funny paper first on Sundays.
Nothing doing, Oldtimer. We ain't taking boarders.
Hey?
Absolutely not.
The last boarder we had was a tap dancer. Kept me awake all morning. I finally got tired of it and knocked him cold with one of his steel-plated shoes and stuffed it into his own trunk.
Hey?
Incidentally, McGee, where did you ship that trunk?
Off to Buffalo. Wow!
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller said, t'other feller, say, hey, says, I see where Scarlett O'Hara got the Academy Award. Yep, says t'other feller. She lost out with Rhett, but she sure got her Oscar. Well, I'm sorry you ain't got a room for me. Slept in the park all last summer and didn't like it. The roof leaked. So long, kid.
I'm getting a little tired of all them Gone with the Wind gags.
Yeah.
I don't know how a picture about the bluegrass country could produce so many bum plugs.
Well, never mind that, McGee. Isn't there any of this junk we can throw away now?
Well, now, let me see, Molly. How about this old photograph album here?
I should say not. That's got all our family pictures in it.
Oh, dear.
Who's this funny-looking man with the walrus mustache, McGee?
Oh, that's my great-uncle Roscoe. We were pretty proud of Uncle Roscoe. He was the first white child in the county to be blackballed by the Elks.
Here's one of me Aunt Ad and Aunt Carrie. They both had big families.
Yeah, how many kids do they have, anyway?
10 between them. Add 6 and carry 4. McGee, now, what are you going...
Well, hello there, folks. I was just going by and I thought... Well, what goes on here? Have you been buying out an antique store?
Hi, Harlow.
This is just a lot of stuff McGee's been hoarding in the closet, Mr. Wilcox.
Isn't it wonderful how much you can pack into so little space?
Uh-oh.
For instance, you only give me about 6 lines to tell how Johnson's Glow Coat saves hours of house cleaning because it beautifies and protects linoleum with absolutely no rubbing or buffing.
Wonderful.
But in those 6 lines, I think I can get the idea across pretty well that a self-polishing preparation like Glow Coat is the very essence of good housekeeping.
Oh, boy.
It's so easy to use that it's easy to tell about.
Oh. Ain't he marvelous, folks? That guy has dedicated his whole life to Johnson's Glow Coat.
What do you mean, Fibber?
Harlow, they tell me that way back when you were in college, they wanted you to stroke the crew, and you said no. No stroking, no rubbing, and no buffing. Even for dear old University of Southeastern Nebraska.
Is that true, Mr. Wilcox?
No, I wasn't a crew man. I went out for ROTC.
Oh, Reserve Officers Training Corps?
No, Revolutionizing Old Time Cleaning. Well, so long, folks.
You there, McGee.
Yep. As the golf ball says, when it landed 5 feet from the tee, I think I've been topped. Well, let's get busy, Molly, and put this stuff back in the closet.
You mean you're going to keep all this junk? Can't we throw any of it out?
No, sir. I got a use for every one of these things.
Now, you don't need this, do you? Huh? What good is one snowshoe?
Why, one what?
Snowshoe.
Is that a snowshoe? Well, shucks, no wonder Billy Mills beat me so bad playing tennis.
Oh, now what? Come in.
Hi, sis. Can we... Oh, hey, Molly. Look. It's Gracie Allen.
Well, hello, Gracie. Won't you come in?
Oh, no, thank you, Molly. And I wouldn't have dropped in if I'd known you were entertaining.
Oh, we ain't entertaining.
Oh, you are, too. I think you're very entertaining. Oh. Now, you say something nice about Georgie and me.
Oh, TL.
Yeah.
Well, I heard, Gracie, that the difference between our shows is that yours is always in the middle of the week, and ours is always weak in the middle.
Oh.
Gracie, what's this I hear about you running for president of the United States?
Oh, there's nothing to it.
Oh, you mean you're not running for president, huh?
Oh, I mean I'll be elected. There's nothing to it.
Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't one to indulge in no idle gossip, Gracie. But I've heard whispers about Dewey and Hull and Garner and Taft being in the White House next year. But I suppose they're just rumors.
They are not. I'll be running the White House, and I'm not going to take in any rumors.
What's your party, Gracie?
Oh, well, it's my own party, the surprise party.
Oh, what an adorable name, dear.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it.
Well, you can count on our votes, Gracie. I always said there should be a woman in the White House.
How about Mrs. Roosevelt?
She's never in the White House.
Molly, do you play bridge?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm forming my cabinet, and I need 7 more bridge players.
How big a cabinet are you going to have?
Just 2 tables.
You need a good pool player?
Well, no, I'm having the pool table taken out. The 8 ball gets in front of too many people.
By the way, Gracie, when do you expect to move into the White House?
January 1st.
January 1st? Mm-hmm. You ain't going to be inaugurated on New Year's Eve, are you?
Well, I may not be inaugurated, but I'll be feeling pretty good. Well, I guess I'll be running along now.
Well, I'm glad you dropped in, Gracie. You think you can handle your campaign all right?
Oh, yes, I can handle my campaign, though the bubbles always tickle my nose a little bit. Well, thank you both, and don't forget my slogan. Grace the White House with Gracie. Good night.
The King's Men sing...
Kapuzalum, Kapuzalum, Kapuzalum was the daughter of the...
In ancient days there lived a Turk, a foreign beast within the East, who did the prophet's holy work as Baba of Jerusalem.
He had a daughter sweet and smirk, a maiden fair with flaming hair, and all about her like a Turk except her name.
Kapuzalum.
Oh, Kapuzalum. Oh, Kapuzalum, Kapuzalum, the daughter of the Baba. The Baba. The Baba.
Boy resided near to she. His name was Sam, a perfect lamb. He was of ancient pedigree and came of old Methuselah.
He drove a trade and prospered well, and gunny sacks and Johnson's wax and ringing at the barber's bell.
He met, he loved, he wooed, he won Kapuzalum, the daughter of the Baba of Jerusalem.
Oh, Kapuzalum, oh, Kapuzalum, the lovers were discovered by the Baba. The Baba. The Baba.
The Baba went beside himself, forgot his prayers, and rushed upstairs, and took a bowstring from his shelf, and came back to Bamboozle.
Oh, the youth and maiden, then he took and choked them both, and nothing loath together, pitched them in the brook of Kedron near Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, oh.
I'm the daughter of the Baba. Oh, Kapoozalum, oh, Kapoozalum, Kapoozalum, the daughter of the Baba.
With you.
Why?
Packing all this useless junk back in that closet. How about these old books?
What old book? Let's see them. Oh, them. Well, that's my correspondence course in taxidermy.
Taxidermy. Why on earth did you want to study taxidermy?
Well, how did I know it meant stuffing birds and animals? And there I was, stuck with a chauffeur's license, a city map, and a pair of puttees.
Well, hurry up and put your playthings back in the closet.
Okay.
Looks terrible laying around here on the floor with that...
I'll get it. Hello? No, this is the McGee residence. You got the wrong number. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Egad, every week the same thing. Apologies to Skinny Ennis.
How's every little thing, Mert? What's A? Your Uncle Gulliver. Oh, that's too bad, Mert.
Oh, my.
And they ain't found the body yet, huh?
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. What happened?
Mert's uncle drove his car off a cliff and had to walk home. They found the chassis up in a tree, but they don't know where the body is. What say, Mert? Oh, that's okay, Mert. Everybody has a wrong number now and then, except Irving Berlin. Well, now, let's see.
McGee, why are you saving this long stick of bamboo?
Why, Molly, that's got a very definite purpose. If I was offered a job as sparring partner for Joe Lewis, that's the 10-foot pole I wouldn't touch it with. See, I got a right.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Mm. Come in. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? So nice to see you.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
Good heavens, what a... Oh, my, it looks as if there'd been an explosion in here.
No, just some things that fell out of the closet, Mrs. Uppington. McGee had everything in there but the kitchen sink.
Oh, really? Everything but the kitchen sink? Oh, my, isn't that amusing? Oh, but what I came in for, Mrs. McGee, was to tell you about the symphony concert I've been planning with Maestro Mills.
Oh, yes, the symphony concert. Well, it's about time something was happening about that, Mrs. Uppington.
I've been waiting so long for that concert, Uppy, I'm even getting suspicious of Billy Mills. I'm afraid he's a non-conductor.
Oh, well, we must be patient, you know. There's been so many difficulties. For one thing, we're having trouble with the facilities at the Eagles Hall.
Oh.
Oh, what's wrong, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, it's the Eagles, my dear.
The Eagles?
Yes, they're all roosting up in the rafters, and during rehearsals, they drop eggs on the orchestra.
Oh. You ought to call them down and give them seats in the first row, Uppy. Them birds are critics.
Yes, indeed, they certainly... Oh, now, please, Mr. McGee. It's discouraging enough as it is.
I hear they had a kind of an accident during rehearsal the other night,
Uppy. Oh, yes, and it was so embarrassing.
So?
Yes, the musician playing the electric guitar reached for a high note and blew every fuse in the building.
Oh, my.
Oh, my, but those dear, dear boys went right on playing just as if nothing had happened.
Oh, really, Mrs. Uppington? But how could they read their music in the dark?
Oh, my dear, that's exactly what I asked Dr. Mills, and he said in his most delightful manner,
oh, yes.
Don't worry about it, babe. Those mugs can't even read music with the lights on. Oh, really, I thought that was just too gay. Or am I being a silly girl?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I must be going. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Abigail.
Isn't she ridiculous, McGee? Yeah. All the time she's back in that symphony orchestra, she's dreaming about Billy Mills.
Well, that's always been a pretty romantic spot, down by the old Mills dream. Don't you get it, Molly? I said down
by
the...
Ain't funny, McGee.
Oh, well. It was spontaneous. Where was I?
Say,
oh, yeah.
Do you really think you can get all this stuff back in that closet?
Why, sure I can, and I don't want anybody touching these things either but me. They're too valuable.
Oh.
I'd have had it done an hour ago if I hadn't been interfered with.
All right, you do it then.
Huh?
I've got some work to do in the kitchen.
All right, I'll get it. Dad, rat it. I wish somebody'd crawl in through the window just for the novelty of it. Come in.
Oh, there, McGee.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, just thought I'd come by and tell you that... Well, my goodness, what's all this?
Oh, just something out of my closet. I'm straightening it up. Hey, Gildersleeve, put that hatchet down.
I'll do no such thing. That's my Boy Scout hatchet you borrowed last summer.
Dad, rat it, it ain't nothing of the kind. That's my Boy Scout hatchet. Ooh. Look at the insignia on the handle there. Owl Patrol.
Well, I belong to the Owl Patrol myself.
Oh, yeah? You in the Owl Patrol. Why, you don't even know the password of the Owl Patrol.
Who?
Well, somebody must have told you. Listen here, Gildersleeve, I bet you don't know a thing about scouting.
I do, too. I was an Eagle Scout with 26 merit badges.
Go on. Can you tie a sheep shank? Can you imitate the mating cry of the chimney swallow? Can you tell which way is north when you're lost in the woods?
Certainly.
How?
I face south and then turn around quick.
Look, Gildersleeve, if you're really a scout, you can do your daily good turn by scramming out of here and letting me finish putting this stuff back in the closet.
Well, all right, McGee. You're sure that isn't my hatchet?
On my word of honor as a member of the Owl Patrol, Gildersleeve.
Well, all right, McGee. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Say.
Huh?
Give me the password again, will you?
Who?
Who?
Oh, Boy Scout, that guy couldn't build a fire in a hay mow by rubbing two sticks of dynamite together. Oh, well, I gotta get the rest of this. Looks like about all of it. Yep. It's all packed back in there. Boy, what a job. Hey, Molly! Molly!
What is it, Mr. Davis?
Look, I got all that stuff back in the closet, all straightened out.
Splendid, McGee, splendid.
Yeah. And after this one, you want something out of there, let me get it for you.
All right.
Yeah.
But now that you got the dictionary out of there, why don't you leave it out? We may need it again.
Oh.
What's the matter?
I forgot to leave it out. I packed the dictionary back in there.
Oh, heavenly Davis.
Now, hey, now you stay away from there. I know exactly where I put it.
Well, okay.
I can get it out without the furthest. How do you spell annihilated?
Bibb and Molly will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, I'd like to read you a brief letter received recently from a gentleman in New York State. For the past 15 years, he writes, I have installed many linoleum floors as I am a linoleum layer. Most every time upon completion of an installation, I am asked this question, how can I preserve or improve the finish? Well, since Glow Coat has been on the market, I have used it with perfect satisfaction. So I always answer, use Johnson's Glow Coat and no other. Well, now coming from a man who knows his linoleum, that is a pretty sound recommendation. Glow Coat does preserve and improve linoleum, whether it's new or old. It makes linoleum last longer, makes it easy to keep clean, brings out the colors. And remember, there's no rubbing or buffing with Glow Coat because it's self-polishing. You simply apply and let dry. In 20 minutes, your floor is sparkling with new beauty. Try Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat on your floors. Order a can tomorrow.
Now, look, McGee. That junk of yours is positively not going back into that closet.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Wrong routine.
Well, all right, then. But if it does go back in there, I'll arrange it myself. Now, you keep your hands off at this time.
You going to do it all by yourself?
I am.
Fine. As the fat lady says when she took off her corset, that lets me out.
McGee. Good night. Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. In this next episode, Molly convinces Fibber that he needs to see about getting glasses, and this is the first time Wallace Wimple is mentioned in the show. Fibber McGee and Molly first broadcast April 15th, 1941, on NBC.
Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Let's Break the Ice. read an interesting letter from a talented lady who said she and her husband always listen to Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuesday nights. Never miss it because it's her husband's favorite radio show. But he's never bought her any Johnson's Wax or self-polishing glow coat. Well, that was hard for me to figure out. My wife never asks me if she can buy anything like that. But let me make just this one little point about Johnson's Glow Coat. Forget for a minute all the work it saves your little wife. Forget the compliments she'll get from your friends when they see those gleaming linoleum floors wearing their protective coats of Glow Coat polish. But think for a moment about this fact. The Johnson's Glow Coat makes linoleum last much longer, protects it from wear and tear. And I think you'll agree with me that not to insist upon your wife using Glow Coat is just bad business. Remember, Glow Coat needs no rubbing or buffing. It's self-polishing. Buy some tomorrow. There's been quite an argument going on this last week at 79 Wistful Vista. Mrs. McGee says her husband should go see an oculist. Mr. McGee says he'll do no such thing.
Oh.
So, here sitting in the office of Wistful Vista's leading oculist, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, now, stop your fidgeting, McGee. The doctor will see you in just a few minutes.
I don't care if he never sees me. This whole idea is silly. I don't need glasses.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I suppose you were just kidding this morning when you yelled, "Hey, I found a quarter." And then you picked up the manhole cover.
Well, shucks. There's nothing really wrong with my eyes at all. I just strained them a little looking for that comet, that's all.
Well, I'm glad to hear you even admit that. Heavenly days, it's no disgrace to wear glasses.
Oh, you just say that on account of Uncle Dennis.
He doesn't wear glasses.
Oh, no. He's worn out most of ours, one way and another.
Well, you'll admit he carries it like a gentleman.
Yeah. He even hiccups with a Harvard accent. Look, Molly, you know very well my eye strain is just a temporary condition.
Bye
I don't...
Bye, Doc. Sure is a load off my mind.
Oh, hello there, old-timer. Been getting your eyes examined?
Yep. And as the chemist says, when the dye factory blew up, I come out with flying colors.
Well, what did the doctor tell you?
Oh, he says I didn't have a thing to worry about, daughter. Says I'll be reading newspapers without glasses when I'm 95.
Oh.
Oh, that's swell, old-timer. I'm glad to hear it. What's the matter with your eyes?
Got a twitch in one of them, Johnny.
Oh. Nervous?
Not till I had my face slapped the third time.
They thought you were a masher, eh?
Yes.
Well, as I always says, old-timer, the trouble with flirting is that you're generally flirting with trouble.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, which was t'other day while I was sitting in a little booth getting my pants pressed because the garden needed some rain. It always rains when I get my pants pressed, which is why they don't have any women in the Weather Bureau.
but the way you heard it...
Oh, yeah. One fella says to t'other fella...
Hey, Sam.
See where a young college fella pole vaulted more than 15 feet to a new world's record last Saturday. Ain't that wonderful? Yeah, says t'other fella. But he never could have done it without that big stick. Well, I guess the doctor will be seeing you in a minute, kid.
Well, thanks, Mr. Oldtimer. You say he thought your eyes were all right, huh?
Yep. Says I'll be reading newspapers without glasses when I'm 95.
Ooh.
On one condition.
What's the condition?
Gotta learn to read. So long, sir.
He is, McGee.
Search me, but I'd swear he wears a TP.
No. You mean a frappe.
I do not. A frappe is a small sedan.
Go on, that's a coupe.
Well, then what's a TP?
A TP is a wigwam.
That's what I've been trying to say. To keep his wigwam, he has to wear a TP.
Oh, dear. That joke was old when radio was just a funny noise from Schenectady. Oh, I wish that doctor'd hurry.
Ah, we're not in any hurry. Besides, that other guy's ahead of us.
Who?
That guy standing over there in the corner. Hey, take your hat off, mister. There's a lady present.
McGee, that's a hat rack.
Huh? Oh. Well, I just...
All right, Mr. McGee, you're next. guests, I believe. Will you step in here, please?
Okay, Doc.
You may come, too, if you wish, Mrs. McGee.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
Now, you understand, I'm just doing this to humor my wife, Doc. My eyes are as good as they ever were.
We'll see. We'll just give you a preliminary examination, Mr. McGee. Yes. There's nothing to worry about.
Who's worrying?
I am.
What about?
Oh, nothing in particular. I just worry. It gives me that busy professional frown, you know. It's very valuable, impresses people. Yes. Now, first, Mr. McGee, I want you to read the chart for me.
XKMZOPLBW.
Isn't that wonderful, Doctor?
It certainly is. Now, I'll put up the chart and see if he can do it. Now then, Mr. McGee, read the top line.
The top line from the bottom?
Quit stalling, McGee. Read the chart.
Oh, he cheated. That ain't the chart I'm familiar with.
Look, Mr. McGee, I'm afraid I'll have to relax the muscles of your eyes before I can examine them properly. They're a bit strained, you know.
Oh, well, how will you do that, Doctor?
We'll put drops in them.
Oh.
It relaxes the muscles and enlarges the pupil.
Oh, yes.
His vision will be blurred for a few hours, and then I want him to come back. Say, in about 3 hours. Yes.
No, wait a minute, Doctor.
Now, McGee.
Huh?
Who knows best? You or the doctor? You don't either. Go ahead, Doctor.
Very well. Open your eyes wide, McGee. Not your mouth, your eyes. That's it. Yes. 1, 2. There. Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
No.
Well, I guess I'll live through it. I ain't scared.
Well, then what are you trembling
for? I'm not trembling.
The doctor ought to know, dear. You're holding his hand.
Huh? Oh. I thought that was yours, Molly. Excuse me, Doc.
That's all right. I'll have the circulation back in that hand in no time. Well, that's all for now, Mr. McGee. Remember, back here in 3 hours. Yes.
Well, now, what'll we do in the meantime?
Well, we might go sit in a movie.
Don't be silly. You couldn't see the picture and the dialogue wouldn't make sense.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. McGee. Who is he to criticize senseless dialogue, Don't you worry about your eyes, Mr. McGee. There may be nothing at all wrong, you know. Nothing at all.
Oh, I'm not worried, Doc. All us McGees have had good eyes, particularly the men in the family. Why, even when I was a tiny baby, people used to say, "Can you imagine such beautiful eyes in a mug like that?" Eyes of Muggin' McGee, I was known as. Eyes of Muggin' McGee, a magnificent masculine mess of muscle and mental magnitude, mentioned in Milady's monthly magazines as the mighty male who managed to mesmerize most of the merry minxes of Monte Carlo and the majority of Marcel's maidens of Manhattan and many of the magnetic misses of Mississippi, Missouri, Michigan, Montana, Minneapolis, Minnesota, a merry mass of manhood with a touch of Irish elf. But let's get going, Molly, or I'll believe this stuff myself. Molly, stopping in here for a bite to eat instead of sitting in the park.
How are your eyes, dearie? Is the medicine wearing off?
Oh, sure. I can see better now than I... Whoops!
What's the matter?
I guess I'm kind of clumsy today. I dropped the top off the ketchup bottle and into the sugar bowl.
That was an olive, then you dropped it in the cream pitcher, and there's no ketchup on the table. Heavenly days, it's a good thing I'm with you, or goodness knows what. Uh-oh. McGee.
Huh?
There's Mrs. Uppington over at that table behind the post. Hmm.
What's the old war horse eating? A bale of hay all gotten?
Let me see. No, she's polishing off a big piece of chocolate chiffon pie.
Hmm. Her and her
diet. And the next time she tries to tell me about living on Melba toast and skim milk, Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? Imagine meeting you here.
Oh, how do you do, my dear? Good day, Miss McGee.
Hi, Uppy.
Mrs. Uppington is over there, dearie. I'm Mrs. McGee. Oh. You're looking very well for yourself, Abigail, old girl.
Thank you, my dear. Though I must do something about my weight. I'm simply gaining ounces, you know.
Oh, cut it out, Uppy, cut it out. You got a wonderful figure, Uppy. In fact, I never seen you look handsomer than you do today. You ain't fat. You're just chubby, in a cute way.
Oh, flatterer.
Besides, what have you do gain, little Abigail? I always said what this country needs is less hustle and more bustle.
And that's a mighty ducky little chapeau you're sporting today, too, Uppy.
Miss McGee, I am not wearing a hat.
Huh? Oh, I thought that was an airplane. Well, you're always too far ahead of the styles. I thought you had one of them new off-of-the-head hats.
Oh, now you say such sweet things, Miss McGee.
I have a tough time doing it, though.
My head is easily turned, you know.
Well, that's because your neck is so skinny, Abigail.
Molly, Uppy seems to have took on entirely new personality lately.
You think
Looking at her right now, she kind of vibrates. She just glows. There's a kind of a radiance about her.
Oh, no, Mr. McGee, you silly boy. You never talked to me like that before.
Of course he didn't. He never had an oculus put drops in his eyes before either.
Oh, you poor boy. Now, doesn't it make everything look horribly distorted? Oh, you mean all those nice things you... Well, I have never been so insulted. Goodbye, you squirt.
Molly, did I say something wrong?
No. But I don't think that was government-infected baloney you were dishing out. Come on, McGee, let's go.
Okay, you paid the check?
Yes, I did. Can I help you with your coat, dearie?
No, thanks, I got it.
You got it all right. You got it inside out.
Huh?
Here, let me. McGee, this isn't your coat.
Huh? It isn't? Well, where is mine? I put it right on that rack there.
Oh, dear, somebody must have taken yours by mistake and left this one.
Huh?
Look, here's the owner's name on the inside of the pocket. Wallace Wimple.
Wallace Wimple, eh? Well, whoever he is, he's got a lot of moxie swiping my coat. Wait till I get my hands on that guy. He'll wish he'd never picked on...
Well, hello there, folks. What's the matter?
Hi, Gildersleeve.
No, it isn't Mr. Gildersleeve, dearie. That's Mr. Wilcox.
Oh.
He's being examined for glasses, Mr. Wilcox, and he's got drops in his eyes.
Hey, Harlow, somebody swiped my overcoat and left this one instead.
Well, you're lucky. That's a good-looking coat.
Well, now, we'll have to find the owner. Do you know a Mr. Wallace Wimple, Mr. Wilcox?
Wimple. Wimple. Not Wallace Wimple.
Yeah, you know him?
Me know Wallace Wimple? Why, say, when I first started working for Johnson's Wax, before I even knew what a wonderful thing Johnson's Wax was for beautifying and protecting floors and furniture and woodwork against dust and dirt and dampness, before I even found out what a blessing Johnson's Wax was for particular housewives, and that was... Well, let's see. We've been on the air for Johnson's Wax 6 years today, and I worked for them 4 years before that. That's 10 years. Yes, sir, 10 years. And in all that time, I've never known anybody by the name of Wallace Wimple. Isn't that amazing?
Why, it's unbelievable.
Wilcox, is your real name O'Sullivan?
O'Sullivan? No, why?
I just wondered. You can find more heels to drag a sales talk in by than anybody.
don't say that, pal. You're not a heel. You're a very nice little guy. Of course, you're not too bright, and you talk too much, but outside of that...
McGee, stop swinging at Mr. Wilcox. Well, you can see better.
Oh, that's okay, Molly. He was just kidding.
Yeah.
And so was I. We can't spoil our 6th anniversary together by fighting. Look, Fibber, why don't you keep this coat and just call it good luck?
Because I'm too honest and it don't fit. Come on, Molly, we gotta go find Wimple. Oh, why didn't somebody tell me my shirt tail was sticking out?
Look out, Jerry.
Who threw that? What the?
What? We tried to tell you that wasn't your shirt tail. That was the tablecloth.
Oh, sure.
The King's Men sing, "Let's Get Away From It All."
Gotta go to work on the 8:15. Oh, every day I struggle through the same routine. Oh, every night I go to bed and then get up to start all over again. Let's take a boat to Bermuda. Let's take a plane to St. Paul. Let's ride a kayak to Quincy or Nyack. Let's get away from it all. Let's take a trip in a trailer. No need to come back at all. Let's take a powder to Boston for chowder. Let's get away from it all. We're gonna fly away. Hurry out, celebrate before we get too old to make it. Take a boat to Honolulu. We'll take a clipper over China's wall. We'll drop a line to Uncle Willie from a steamer bound for Chile. Let's get away from it, away from it all. Fly a ticket down to Rio, or you can take along a Spanish shawl. We'll take a passage on a freighter just across the old equator. Let's get away from it all. We'll look up all your aunts and all your uncles and your cousins, and we'll camp right at their door. They may go broke, but holy smoke, we'll never worry anymore. They'll never miss me at the office. I'm never going back there at all. We'll never be at home when the butcher and the baker and the tailor and the landlord call. We're gonna leave them flat, so baby, grab your hat. Let's get away from it. Let's get away from it all.
We knew who this Wallace Wimple was. Did you ask the manager of the gas company?
Yes, and the light company and the water company.
Maybe we should hire a private detective.
I'm gonna do something. I wish my eyes would clear up. As it is, I wouldn't know this Wallace Wimple if I saw him. Ouch, that ratted bud. What's the idea of jabbing me with that cigar? Who do you think you are?
Now, McGee.
Teach him to stand around in front of cigar stores and bump into people. I got a good notion to slap you down, bud. What do you think of that? Well, ain't you got anything to say?
Indians don't talk much, McGee.
Is he an Indian?
Yes, and a wooden one at that.
Huh? Oh. Excuse me, Chief. I guess I was off the reservation.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hi there, little girl. I can't see you very good, but I recognize your voice. I got some stuff in my eyes, and I don't see very well for a while yet.
Why?
Well, they do that so they can examine your eyes better.
What's the matter with them, mister? You got astigmatism?
Got what, sis?
Astigmatism.
Shucks, sis. We could have had a cute routine if you'd only mispronounced that.
I know it, but it would have been kind of corny, I bet you.
Well, maybe it would. And seeing that this is our 6th anniversary for Johnson's Wax, maybe we better go easy on the corn.
On the what?
Corn.
I'm hungry.
What's the matter with you, sis? You a food hoarder? You save it for a friend?
No, but I gotta feed my puppy and my kitty and a turtle. And last Sunday, my papa gave me Easter bunny.
Oh, he did, huh?
Hmm?
I says he did, huh?
He did what?
Your father gave you an Easter bunny.
Gee, did he?
That rabbit, you said he did.
I know it.
Well, then what... Now, look, sis. Did you ever hear of a guy named Wallace Wimple?
Sure.
When?
Just now. Why, Jack?
Because I gotta find him, that's why. And say, by the way, if you ever hear of anyone named Wallace Wimple, come and tell me, will you? And I'll give you a nickel.
It's worth 10 cents, I bet you.
Oh. Okay, 10 cents.
You mean you'll give me 10 cents if I tell you how to find him, do you, please?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Give me the dime.
You know how I can find him?
Sure I do, I bet.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, here's 10 cents. What do I do?
Look in the telephone book.
Hey, Molly, lead me to the nearest phone booth, will you?
All right, dearie. I don't know how we overlooked such an obvious idea.
Well, sometimes the things right under your nose are the hardest to see, as the high school kid says when he tries to raise a mustache. Hey, Molly.
What?
Does drops in your eyes affect your other muscles? I'm developing an awful limp.
Oh, it isn't serious, dearie. You're walking with one foot in the gutter.
Let's go down to Kramer's drugstore and see if we
well,
can...
Well, well, well. Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Fibber.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Is that you, Throcky?
Well, what's the matter with you, little chum? What are they leading you around for?
Oh, don't drip so much, you big drip. You make me sick with all
McGee's
that.
McGee's been to the oculist, Mr. Gildersleeve, and he's got drops in his eyes.
Not that it bothers me at the moment, Gildersleeve. You always did look like a big blur to me anyway.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Why, you astigmatic little biological error? For 2 cents, I'd pop you one right on that little receding chin of yours. Oh. And if you haven't got 2 cents, you can open an account with me.
In the eyes, Gildersleeve. I could handle you with one hand tied behind me and juggling 3 Japanese with my feet.
You couldn't juggle the accounts in a piggy bank, you little vacuum.
Gildersleeve?
Yes?
Here, here, here. For goodness sake, boy, stop it. Don't you realize this is our 6th anniversary for Johnson's Wax?
Well.
Let's all be friends at least for one day.
Well, all right. For one day.
Day it is, Gildersleeve. But what are you doing tomorrow?
Nothing.
Okay. Suppose I meet you in back of the firehouse and slap a few of your cheap gold fillings down your noisy epiglottis.
You're a hard man, McGee. Goodbye, George!
Hey, Trocky.
What is it, chum?
You know a guy named Wallace Wimple?
Wallace Wimple. Wallace Wimple. Oh, Wallace Wimple. Why, certainly.
Oh,
an old college chum of mine.
Oh.
Yes. He used to sleep in the next seat of me in chapel.
For goodness sakes, well, where does he live, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Wait a minute. I have it right down here in my address book. Wimple. W-W-W. Here's Wilma.
Wilma, huh?
Wilma's a horse. She's running in the Derby this year. W-W. Ah, here it is. Wally Wimple. 1345 Oak Street. And when you see him...
Okay. Taxi! Taxi!
Okay, Molly, let's go. Now, wait a minute, folks. What's this all about? I might... Oh, go cat a tip at you, big mug. I'll see you tomorrow behind the firehouse.
Oh!
Oh!
1345 Oak Street, driver. Step on it now. Step on it. Watch the step, dearie. Here, take hold of my hand.
Now, you let me handle this, Molly. This guy may be a professional crook, and I might have to get tough with him.
Well, what if he's a big bruiser?
Well, I,
Yeah.
Hi, bud. You Wallace Wimple?
Yes, I am.
Is he a big guy, Molly?
No, he's just a little guy, McGee.
Yes, eh? You look here, Wimple. You got a lot of nerve swiping my coat out of that restaurant. I got a notion to kick you around and teach you respect for other people's privity. What's your idea of taking my coat?
Well, bless my soul, I didn't even know I had taken the wrong one.
Well, is this your coat, Mr. Wimple?
Oh, it certainly is, and thank you so much for returning it.
Is that all you got to say, Wimple? Ain't you going to apologize?
Yes, I certainly am. It was a very ridiculous mistake. But at the time, I couldn't tell one coat from another.
Well, why not?
Well, I went to an oculist this morning, and he put some drops in my eyes. Isn't that silly?
Bibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. Have you heard about the special bargain offer that many Johnson dealers are now making? It's one you will not want to miss, so listen carefully. For a limited time, many dealers are now giving a long-handled Glow Coat applier free with a quart of Johnson self-polishing Glow Coat at the regular price of 98 cents. You'll find this applier very handy. It's washable, may be used over and over again, and it makes the application of Glow Coat amazingly simple. And speaking of saving, Glow Coat, of course, is a famous labor saver. It's the number one easy-to-use floor polish wherever you go. It needs no rubbing or buffing. You just apply and let dry, and in 20 minutes, your floor gleams with a rich, long-lasting polish. Glow Coat keeps the colors of linoleum fresh and bright, makes the linoleum itself last much longer. See your dealer right away while this money-saving offer is still available. Ask for this long-handled applier free with one quart of Johnson's Glow Coat at the regular price of 98 cents.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's program marks the beginning of our seventh year on the air for Johnson's Wax. And the people in both Racine and Wistful Vista want to thank you all for your loyalty and friendship.
That's right. If it hadn't been for you folks, why, we would...
Telegram for Fibber McGee and Molly.
I'll take it, Wallace. Thanks.
Let me read it, dearie. Remember your eyes. Oh, how nice. Listen, McGee.
Yeah?
Congratulations to Fibber McGee and Molly on their sixth anniversary.
Oh.
You have done a wonderful job, and we hope your sponsor appreciates you as much as we do. We hope they sign you up for another 6 years.
Oh, shucks.
That'll be 89 cents, please. It's collect.
It is not collect. I paid for that, Tellup.
Good night.
Good night, Al.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.